Well, good morning to you all. Great to see you here this morning. My name is Andrew. I'm one of the pastors here, actually the one of the last remaining pastors. I appreciate Ivor hanging around for another week as well, and for the band as well, for you guys to serve us, and just appreciate this church, and that God is always working. And it was interesting when I started to think about this message, because as I started to think about it, and it was a standalone, it's the first time, since probably the first week when I arrived here last year, when Paul has kind of said, Andrew, preach about whatever you want. And so that was exciting. And so I thought, okay, well, what could it be? And God brought to mind a sermon that I preached in 2008. And so I've been kind of thinking about that. And then this week, as I sat down to prepare it, it went a different direction. Same passage, but it went a different direction than the message went in 2008. And so it was interesting and also exciting. I've been preaching for about 18 years, I think, and I've never preached the same message twice. And I know there are some people that God calls. He gives them a particular message and He sends them around with it, and that's their ministry. But for me, in the ministry, He's called me to, for some reason, even there have been a number of times where I've expected to preach the same message twice, and then I've gone to prepare it, and He's led me in a different direction. And so the excitement I feel for us this morning is that God has something specific that He wants to speak to us today. So even though it's the 31st, even though a whole bunch of people are on holidays, even though there are all these other things going on, God, I believe, has brought you here this morning, brought us here together, and He's given me a word for us on this morning of December the 31st. So I'm excited about that. I'm going to read for us our passage for today, which is from the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1, and it's verses 3 to 9. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So as Ivor mentioned as he began, when we come to the end of any year, there's a natural instinct to reflect and to review the year that was and to look ahead to the year to come. And so we might ask ourselves questions like, you know, what were the highlights? What were the things that I think I will really remember in a positive way from this year? And we also think about the lowlights. What are the struggles? What are the challenges that I faced in this year? What did I learn? What were the experiences I had that might equip me for the future? What am I hoping for right now? As I look ahead at this moment in my life, what do I hope will happen? And also, maybe what are some of the things that I feel like need to change? And that's, of course, why we get to our New Year's resolutions. We have this sense that this moment gives us an opportunity to make a fresh start. But for many of us as well, as we reflect, as we review, as we look ahead, We think about financial things. We get maybe reports from investments or from super, or we check our bank balances, although the week after Christmas is probably the worst time to check your bank balance. But there's this kind of natural rhythm as well that we want to check in. How are our finances doing? And one of the, I don't know whether it was a joy, one of the unique things about living in America for about 6 years was that cable TV in America just has hundreds and hundreds of channels. And I obviously gravitate towards the sport channels. But they have, you know, all these dedicated 24-hour TV channels. And one of them, it's on ESPN, it's called Around the Horn. And the premise of the show is you have these four sports commentators and they give their opinions about things and the host awards points to them. And so they've actually made a sport of talking about sport. And so there are these four commentators, they'll give their opinions, the host give them points. Before each commercial break, the lowest scoring commentator gets cut. And so when they come back after the break, there's one less until they're down to the last one who is the winner of that particular episode. And so they have some shows kind of like that, but on the finance side of things, shows like Mad Money or Money Wars. And it's kind of this noisy, visually stimulating thing where it's, you know, it's like buy, sell, hold. And they have these graphics and kind of goofy hosts and guests. And they're kind of making a sport, is making a finance show entertainment. But it is, funnily enough, entertaining. And so I thought as we begin this New Year's Eve service, we might take a look at some investments and how they went in 2017. For those of you who don't know, I had a background in finance before I went into ministry, and so I love charts. I love Excel spreadsheets. I love making charts. And so when I'm sitting in my office this week, I just geeked out on charts. So you're going to love this. I will admit this first one I didn't make. But this is how gold performed in 2017. If anyone holds gold, then that's how that went. Quite volatile there. This may be a bit more relevant. This next one is the Sydney median property price in 2017. And we finally peaked around August and started to come down there towards the end of the year. I love it when they say it's good news for first home buyers. Good news, it is now slightly under $900,000 to buy a property. So that's property. Next one, don't know how many people will relate to it. Bitcoin. Bitcoin had a great year in 2017. If you don't know what Bitcoin is, it's what's called a cryptocurrency. It's like, it doesn't exist, but people pay a lot of money for it. So that's what happened with Bitcoin this year. So if you are a holder of cryptocurrency, that will bring great joy. If you are just now hearing about what it is, then you'll think, oh, I wish I'd known about that around May. That would have been good. So that's gold and property and Bitcoin. And when we look at those things, we have an emotional response. So whenever we look at our investments, and you could add to, you know, when you look at your bank balance, when you look at your superannuation, when you look at the balance of your assets, we have this natural kind of response. If the balance is high, if there's been growth in it, then generally we feel good. We have a positive kind of instinctive response. If there hasn't been growth, if it has declined over the year, or if our balance is low, then we have this natural instinctive response, which is, it might be concern, it might be sadness, it might be regret on missing out on something, or it might even be fear. We might look at our financial balances and feel a lack of security. So the question is, as we look back on 2017, what would it look like if we looked at faith? How did faith perform in 2017? and I've taken a shot. This is my own. And how do you measure faith? So I've measured it in terms of number of positive vibes. And so I would say the trend, the long-term trend line is a decline, a gradual decline in our society towards faith. You'll see there's a little bump around Easter, and then the general decline continues. And then the same-sex marriage thing happened through August, so that kind of accelerated the decline. And then in December, we get a bit of a Christmas bump. But what about, that's faith in terms of positive vibes. What about if we measured faith in terms of dollars? Well, this one was easier. Faith, along with love, it seems, don't pay the bills. So when we come to faith, when we come to analyzing faith, reviewing faith, we have this challenge. When it comes to financial things, we have objective measures for what they are worth. And we also have learned instinctive responses. When we see a balance, we know what to feel about it. If a financial balance is up, we feel good. If it's down, we feel bad. But when it comes to faith, one, we don't know how to measure it. But secondly, we also often don't know how to feel about it. How do we feel about how faith has gone over the past year? And so what I've got on this next slide is just some different factors here. On your left-hand side there, there are some factors that cause our faith to appreciate in value. Things like we might have we've learned something about God, we've experienced God, we've seen an answer to prayer, we've seen God at work, we've maybe served God and seen Him grow His kingdom, we've been engaged with our church family, we've come to church regularly, we've done our personal devotions, we've been obedient to God and seen His faithfulness, and also we've seen our faith celebrated by the people around us. All those different factors are things that increase the value of our faith. They help us feel better about our faith, want to invest more into it. But on the right-hand side there, you see the opposite. There are factors that have depreciated our faith. Maybe we've learned nothing in this past year. Maybe God seems distant to us right now. Maybe we haven't seen our prayers answered. We feel dry in our relationship with God. We're either serving in a mundane way without joy or not at all. We're not engaged regularly with our church family. We're not regular with our personal times with God. We're not being obedient to God and what He's asking us to do. And maybe our faith is being opposed by the people around us. Those things challenge the value that we will place on our faith. And so I want to give you just a minute or two here. I want you to think about the past year, 2017. If you were to draw a chart there of how you have valued your faith this year, would you say it is appreciated in value or has it depreciated in value? Do you value your faith more at the end of the year than you did at the start or less? And maybe think too about what are some of the factors that have been in play for you this year. As we look at the Bible, it's remarkable what we find here written about the value of faith. And in the passage that we're looking at today in 1 Peter, we see that Peter places an incredible value on faith. Let's work our way through it. We'll start here in verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So Peter begins with a reminder of what God has done. That God in His mercy has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus. And it's an incredible thing that because of what Jesus did, death is not the end for us. That for those who believe in him, for those who trust in him, life is what comes, starting now and also through our physical death. Our physical death is not the end. It's life that God calls us to. Even if this world will pass away, that those who trust in Jesus will continue to live a life of hope and joy and faith in him. In John chapter 11, Jesus says this. He says, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die." Do you believe this? So it's an incredible statement that Peter starts with. Death is not the end. Jesus rose from the dead, and so he invites us to trust him and also receive that resurrection life. Let's continue in verse 4. "And into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, this inheritance is kept in heaven for you." And so not only does Jesus invite us and enable us to receive this gift of life, but we understand some of the characteristics of this life. And again, when Jesus was around, he said these words to his disciples. He said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." It's an amazing promise that we find in the Bible, that this world, even in the things that we love about this world is passing away. But when Jesus returns, God is going to make a new world for us to live in. He'll bring a new Jerusalem from heaven, and God's dwelling place will be with humans. It's such an incredible promise. And so Jesus says to his disciples, "Don't worry, I'm going to this place, this heavenly city, and I'm going to prepare a place for you there. And when I return, I will take you to the place I've prepared for you." Let's read verse 5. "Who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time." I love that phrase there. "Who through faith are shielded by God's power." The amazing thing is that God doesn't just promise us something. He doesn't just give us a hope, but also allow for the possibility that what he has promised, what we are hoping for, could be taken away from us. We find here Peter reminding believers that God is shielding them by his power through their faith. He is shielding them from the enemy. He is shielding them from anyone or anything that might want to come against them and take away this gift that God has given them, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation. And we see there Jesus' words in John 10. He says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand." It's an amazing truth that all of God's promises to us are firm and secure because it's Jesus who holds them. And he says, "No one can snatch the ones who belong to me out of my hand." Verses 6 and 7, Peter goes on and says, "In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. And so that's the catch. Peter's been talking about all these amazing things, this hope, this promise, this new life, this salvation, all the things that he says we should greatly rejoice because of. And then he says, but for now, you have to suffer in all kinds of trials and experience grief because of your trials. But he says, there's a purpose to those trials. He says, these have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold may be proved genuine. Isn't that amazing that Peter says our faith is of greater worth than gold? And just as gold is formed in the fire, gold isn't formed in an easy process. It doesn't float from the sky. It doesn't grow on a tree and you just pluck it off. Gold is formed in a process of heat and pressure and molding and forming. And so Peter says, as you rejoice in all these amazing things that God has given you, don't be surprised that the process of getting there involves suffering, involves pressure, involves strain and struggle, involves moments that you won't enjoy, that won't feel good to you. But he says, these trials have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold may be proved genuine. And when Jesus returns, your faith will result in praise and glory and honor. It's interesting if we read from Luke chapter 18. This might be familiar to you. It's the parable of a persistent widow. And Jesus says, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, "Grant me justice against my adversary." For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, "Even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me." And the Lord said, "Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" And what Jesus is saying there, he's saying, understand that in this life, you will face many injustices, many disappointments, many discouragements. And so in those moments, do cry out to me, like the persistent widow. Bring your complaints. Bring your cry for justice to me. But know that I am going to take care of those things. You can trust that even as you experience trials and opposition and you suffer and experience pain and you cry out to me for justice, know that I will bring justice. But my question for you is, when I come, will I find faith? What Jesus is saying there is, yes, the world is full of suffering and injustice, but I am going to do my part. My part is that I will bring justice. You can count on that. The question is, are you going to do your part? Your part is faith. Your part is to trust me. Your part is to cling to me and hold on to me and cry out to me as you experience those things. Let's finish with verses 8 and 9. He says, "Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls." It's a great finish there. Peter's saying, I get it. You haven't seen him, but you love him. You believe in him. And because of that, right now, God's promises to us aren't just for heaven. They're not just for after we experience our physical death. God's promises to us are for now. And what Peter is reminding them of is, hey, your faith does guarantee you this eternal inheritance. But what it also does is in the midst of your suffering and trials, you can experience the greatest joy. And when he writes there that you're filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, he's saying there's nothing better. Even if you have to go through pain to get it, there is nothing better. There is nothing worth more than to know God and to have the hope and the joy and the peace that comes from faith in him. As I look back on this year, I'm not really sure what to make of it. When I look back on my year, I see some big highs. I see moments, especially in City on a Hill, moments of great joy, moments where at night church or with the Real campaign or at youth where we've seen God, we've experienced God, we've seen youth make decisions and grow in their maturity. We've seen people grow in their gifting. We've seen new people come and explore faith. And even in worship, we've had moments where everyone has just been in awe of God and felt his presence. And I know in the morning that's true as well. I know in small groups, in missional families, across the life of this church, God has been present and active. And so we can look back with thankfulness and praise for all those things. But I also, as I look back on the year, I see people who have taken steps away from faith. And I feel the sorrow of that. I can think of prayers that I've prayed that I haven't seen an answer to. And also, after the high in term three of the Real campaign and seeing God work, I got attacked pretty majorly in a spiritual way. And started to doubt and to fear and to think about death and to lose some of my security. And so I look back on this year and I feel like I've taken some hits, but I've seen some great things. And at the end of that, I don't really know what to make of it. Also, as I look at my life, I praise God. Jillian and I are doing great. I thank him for my marriage. But I look at those financial charts and I feel like, oh, I'm getting left behind. The more I live, the further I go in my faith, the more I kind of anticipate this moment where I'll stand before God and all I'll have in my hands is my faith. And nothing else will matter. Everything else will be stripped away and I'll be standing there in front of God. And the only thing I'll have is my faith and to say, God, I trusted you. And I think that's the kind of place that God wants to bring all of us to. It's the place that he brought the disciples to. In John 6, we find Jesus giving this really difficult teaching about being the bread of life. And he teaches, and most people who heard it left. And so he turns to the 12 and he says, are you going to leave as well? And Peter replies, to whom shall we go? You alone have the words of eternal life. That's the faith. That's the faith that's worth more than gold. And so I want to encourage you today. I want to challenge you as well. You may get to the end of the year and you may look at your investments and they're all doing well. You may feel healthy. Your job may be going well. You're feeling secure in your life. And I want to challenge you today, remind you that the thing that is of greatest worth in your life, This life that you only get one of, this life that may end at a point not of your choosing and which you will get no notice of. The thing that matters most in this life that God gives us is faith. That's what's of greatest worth. And so don't let yourself get distracted by other things. Don't allow yourself to find your security or your happiness in things apart from God, because they're destined to perish. They're not going to last. The thing that will last is our faith and the promises that we hold on to in God, because He is faithful. But maybe you're in a different situation as you finish 2017. Maybe you're not feeling secure. Maybe you're actually feeling pretty beaten up. Maybe you've got financial concerns. Maybe you're dealing with employment issues, either problems in your work or difficulty finding work. Maybe you're lacking a sense of purpose or direction. Maybe you've got issues in your relationships, and so as you approach the end of this year, you're actually not feeling great. You're really hoping, actually, for something a lot better in 2018. I want to encourage you that no matter what the circumstances of your life are, if you have faith, and especially if you've grown in your faith, if you can say, I know God better at the end of 2017 than I knew Him at the start, then you actually are rich. You actually have the greatest kind of security in your life, an eternal security that can never be taken away from you, because Jesus Himself is the one who holds it. So be encouraged this morning. And I want to challenge you to pursue faith. I'll finish with this story from Matthew chapter 13. It's two little parables. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a person found it, they hid it again. And then in their joy, they went and sold all they had and bought that field." Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When they found one of great value, they went away and sold everything they had and bought it. That's what God offers each person. Faith that is worth more than gold, more than Sydney property, more than Bitcoin, more than any kind of circumstantial thing you could have in your life. Faith that has value in this life and into eternity. And so as we broach this new year, will you join with me in making faith your greatest investment in 2018? That we would all reap a harvest not in financial terms, but reap the harvest that God promises those who believe in Him, the harvest of peace, of joy, of hope, of comfort, and eternal life kept for us when Jesus returns. Let me pray. I'll invite the band back up and we'll finish. Why don't you stand with me as we pray this morning? Father, we thank You that You are a God who gives good gifts. And above all, Lord, we thank You for the gift of faith. I thank You for each person here today who understands that their greatest treasure is the promise of eternal life and a heavenly kingdom that Jesus will bring when He returns. God, I pray for those who are feeling discouraged and weak and poor in human terms, in worldly terms. God, I pray that they would know how rich, how strong, how blessed they are because of their faith. And for those, Lord, who are finding their security and their strength in material things, things that will pass away. God, I pray that you would reveal to them the infinite worth of faith. And for all of us, Lord, as we approach this new year, that you would help us invest first and foremost into our relationship with you, our obedience with you, and that we would trust you in each moment of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.